Life.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. And protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Privacy.
Right.
Work.
Peace.
Losers.
Lose.
Men.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall. And I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
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 Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Focus.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Solidarity.
Responsibility.
You fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on SaskTel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 341. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and joining me today is my co-host Gord Barnes with our special guest, Jen Bergen. I think we could describe Jen as being an activist all her life, as she prefers organizer. But we're going to ask her about that and the newest thing in her activism. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Welcome, Jen, to the program, and it's really great to be back here this Friday. It's a sunny day. It's a little cool out, but it's a wonderful day to have a great conversation. And Jen is here as a guest to talk about the new Queen City Hub in Regina and some of the background to that. But before we do that, Jen, I wonder, would you like to just, for the people who are listening to the program today, give us a little bit of background about some of the things you've done. I know you're a University of Regina grad and some of the places you worked and things like that to start with.
Sure. Yeah. So my background is in education and policy. I have an undergrad in education and my master's is in public administration. And as far as places I've worked and projects I've worked on, I was at the Regina Public Interest Research Group for a number of years, which is a student organization that funds social and environmental justice projects. From there, I went to the Saskatchewan Council for International Cooperation, which is an umbrella funding group for international development projects that also does social justice programming in Saskatchewan. And through both of those, this will be the fifth year that I've helped to organize a summer camp for young activists and organizers called Generating Momentum, which is in August every year. And so it was actually through working at SCIC that I began to be exposed to other hubs around the country. We had meetings in several of them across the country for a project we were working on. And Dave Mitchell, who is the co-founder with myself, and I were asking ourselves why Regina didn't have one. So that's where the idea came from.
Cool. So the genesis was you had a bit of exposure to other hubs in other communities across Canada, and maybe some in other countries, I guess. But just sort of before we get into that discussion about where the other ones are and all the rest of it, mm-hmm. maybe you can just share a little bit of detail for our listeners about what is the Queen City Hub and your vision and sort of mission and goal.
Sure.
You've probably gone through some processes even to explore what it should be, I guess.
Yeah, and those processes are still continuing with our recently founded board of directors. So the Queen City Hub is a co-working and skill-sharing organization. And so what that means is co-working is sort of a new style of work where people come to the same space if they're artists or freelancers or contract workers or, you know, folks just running their own organization or business or working for one that doesn't have their own office space. Like SOWEA, the Sask Outdoor Environmental Education Association, is a good example. They're an organization that has employees but no office space, so they come to work at the hub during the day. And so co-working just means that you're part of a community of people in the space during the day, the same that you would be if you worked for an organization, and that those people help to build your skills and your capacity to help you be more successful. So a really good example was the other day, one of our grad student members was having trouble with syncing Dropbox and this other program that she was working on.
Okay.
And one of our other members was able to help her out with that, whereas if she was working sort of at home in a silo, that never would have happened. So it's really about building a community of people there. And then the skill sharing bit is sort of what we see as one of the most exciting parts. So it means members being able to share the skills that they already have for people working on campaigns, running events, or doing their own organization's programming, and being able to create some synergy between the people who are in the space that way.
And the location of the Queen City Hub?
Yeah, so we're on the second floor of the Creative City Center downtown. It's
okay.
On Hamilton Street, right across from where Hill Tower 4 is going up.
Okay.
Next to the Leader Building.
So a little bit of construction activity in that part of the city right now.
Yeah,
but,
we have a great view of all the construction.
I actually regret I haven't had a chance to attend some of the events you've had so far, but I did get a chance to drop in yesterday and had a look at the space, and it's, you know, there's good pictures on your website of what it looks like, and I was interested to see, you know, the open feel of the space for people who might be there using it. You know, there are some other sort of shared office spaces that probably exist for people who are in private business, for example, mm-hmm. in the community, and typically they might have a front desk and then either cubicles or office space that is pretty private. And I don't know if you've made a deliberate decision around this when you did the design and thinking about it, but you've got very open space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the open concept space is something that we borrowed from the Center for Social Innovation in Toronto, which is another one of these hub spaces. And it's meant to sort of catalyze those informal networking connections that we're looking to have between the people who are looking to partner in the space. And so it's for that reason. And then also, it's meant to be a multi-purpose space. And so having kind of closed off cubicles would be hard to move around if we wanted to have an event. So for practical reasons, it's also open concept so that we can use it for whatever our membership wants to use it for.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so far, maybe you could share a little bit of detail about the kinds of events you've had so far, just to give our listeners a bit of background on that.
Sure. Yeah. So we're pretty new. So the list isn't that long. we officially opened our doors the first week of January. So we've been open for about a month now, and have been slowly developing our membership. It's a member-based organization. So since then, we had our first event in January, and it was called they're called Hub Socials, and they're discussion series events. And this one was about building cultural capacity in Regina. So we had three speakers come out to talk about fairly new cultural events or institutions in the city, like Segewe Walk, the new First Nations Artist Collective, Red Hot Riot that Jaden Pfeiffer runs, which is kind of a multi-arts show. And then Dave Mitchell was also there to talk about the co-working space and the work that he's doing kind of in the book and editing world. So,
okay.
And it was a great chance for people to come out and both see what the hub was about, but also to talk about how we build cultural capacity in Regina and specifically downtown and what that looks like and what it looks like to support other organizations who are new and starting and have different purposes but have common elements.
Mm-hmm. We talked about the car co-op.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of somewhat involved with you at this point, are they not? Or they're
they aren't an official. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not an official member, but tonight we're actually participating in green drinks with them and a few other organizations about the idea of sharing organizations and their purpose.
Yeah, I get the impression that this is going to be kind of an umbrella group that will sort of involve a whole lot of different ideas and movements and thoughts about the future.
Yeah, we hope so.
Do you have sort of upcoming events that you're planning over the next short while?
We do, yep. So February 23rd, it's a Sunday from 2 to 6, we're having our first Skillshare, which is a chance for Hub members and members of the public to either offer workshops or to sort of participate in workshops that can be anything from learning how to plumb to Excel worksheets to accounting software to crocheting. So
that's a pretty wide range of. So, tell me how, if you do that in an event where there's such a range of kind of sharing going on, how does mm-hmm. that work? Actually, kind of curious to see how that might evolve.
Sure, yeah. Shana Stock, who is works for the Creative City Center, is helping facilitate it. So people register with whatever workshop they want to offer, and then we sort of arrange whatever materials they need. And between 2 and 6, we have multiple workshops running on the hour. So participants can come and choose which out of the two or three that are running that hour that they'd like to attend. And it's pretty informal. So someone will just share whatever knowledge that they have about the subject and field questions and have a discussion about it so that that knowledge is passed on to other people.
Wow. And it's not a kind of event where people need to pay to
participate
no. or anything at this point?
Yeah, it's free.
Wow, that's
yeah.
cool. And that would mm-hmm. be a good kind of way for people to check out the physical space, I guess, of Queen City Hub. And if you haven't been to the Creative Community Center as well, I assume you're going to have to kind of use some of this extra space there.
Yes, yeah. We'll be on both floors of the building, in the Creative City Center and in the Hub space, which is on the second floor. And yeah, it's just a great way to value the skills and abilities that people in your community already have and might not consider valuable or might not have considered sharing before. So it's a neat structure, and we're excited to test out the format. Mm. And I guess as far as other events, we're having several events specific to our membership in March, and also we're planning sort of a formal grand opening or launch in April. Once we get all the organizational bugs worked out, we're going to have some sort of public event in the first week of April. So,
wow. Mm-hmm. I got to say, I was very impressed with the, and to give them credit, the Leader Post did a wonderful article, I thought.
Yeah.
And people could find that if you just go to the Leader Post site online and punch in Queen City Hub. It's really interesting because it's got some pictures of people kind of at the Queen City Hub doing different things. You might be able to share more information about that, Jen.
Yeah, Mark Melanchuk from the Leader Post put a lot of work into it, and so he interviewed sort of a larger cross-section of our current members about the work that they're doing out of the Hub. And then sort of combined those video and picture profiles with these panoramic shots of the space. So you can kind of cruise through the space and see what these people are up to. And yeah, it's really neat. It's just right on their main site there, and it's linked on our Facebook page and everything. So
that cool. really helps to get that kind of awareness out there right away when you're mm-hmm. fairly early in your days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I was just thinking Marion Donnelly must be pretty happy with the with your occupancy of her space there and making good use of you know, what the possibilities are there.
Yeah, her and the staff at the Creative City Center have been nothing but supportive, and we're really thrilled to be a part of that space. They've done so much work already in Regina, building up the community that either attend events at the Creative City Center or partner with it or sponsor it. And a lot of the legwork has already been done, so that when we say, oh, we're on the second floor of the Creative City Center, people say, oh, okay, I know what that is already. And yes. So I understand what kind of a community that you're a part of. So yeah, we can't actually express enough thanks to them for all the work that they've done for that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I discovered when I was there is yesterday afternoon was the printing articulate ink folks have moved down to the second floor where the space is, that just sort of to the east, I guess, of the space you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Queen City Hub occupies about the front two-thirds of the second floor, and then Articulate Ink, which is also a member-based organization, they're an independent printing press, is in the back third of the space. So we share future washrooms and also a kitchenette space with them, and it's a pretty impressive setup that they have back there. Yeah. People are always really amazed by sort of the capacity that they have now. It's a pretty amazing, growing little organization.
I got to say, it's on my to-do list to attend one of the workshops. One of the people who was leaving here just prior to our going on air was saying that they attended a workshop at Articulate Ink. It's great, I'm sure, to be able to get out and discover new things you can do. So
mm-hmm, yeah.
To be able to kind of be there with the folks there and the other people at the Creative Community Center must be really exciting.
Yeah, it is.
I also kind of think I suppose it's got some challenges to it, but the idea of having this downtown is really good. The downsides, I guess, around some of the things people express concerns around parking and access and all the rest of it. But at the same time, it is really central. It adds, I think, a great deal to the downtown. So I don't know whether you had any sort of hesitations or thinking about that, or where you were going to locate when you got it. Was that sort of the obvious space from your perspective?
It was. When we first started talking about this idea last year, before this space became available, we were looking for downtown sort of space. It's just a way to bring sort of more of what we're looking for, like environmental and socially justice minded people together in the core of a city to be able to collaborate. And all of the kind of other hubs that we were at were downtown and sort of part of the action in the city. Mm-hmm. And a board member of the hub and I met with the Regina Downtown Business Improvement folks this morning, and there's already a lot of sort of partnership possibilities with them. So,
well, that's good, dude.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're thrilled to be downtown.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. I know it's the downtown is always a topic of great discussion in Regina in terms of, you know, do we have enough housing downtown? Is there too much office space? And all those kind of things. And now with other issues around the, you know, times disruption to the particular streets because of new construction. But I think it really does add a lot to have, first of all, the Creative Community Center, but also now the Queen City Hub located downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and downtown in Regina is changing, even in, you know, the short 7 years that I've lived in Regina. It's gone from having very few restaurants or places to gather to more than I can count, all in the sort of central business district area. You know, there's the plaza has been an amazing sort of infusion of outdoor activities in downtown. And I think we're just excited to be able to contribute to sort of a growing cultural and art scene.
Yeah. And you're located right close to Jim's favorite Wednesday morning spot.
Green spot?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cinnamon buns.
It's funny you should say that. I recently wrote a haiku about how much I love the green spot cinnamon buns.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I can relate, yeah. Yeah, I don't miss it. I never miss it. Let me put it that way.
good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So, I there are a number of other ones to give them credit, but the green spot, and I'm thinking of some of the other obvious locations downtown in terms of coffee shops, are really doing some good stuff in terms of sharing a variety of artwork that's being done and by people in the community. So, I think you are, as you say, part of a changing downtown that's very positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also have a partnership with some local artists who are currently displaying their work in the hub. So it's kind of nice to be able to look up at that when you're noodling away on a spreadsheet and need a bit of reprieve. And in addition to partnering with artists, we've also got a partnership with a library called the Regina Freedom Library, which is a mobile library that takes books around and tables at events. So concerts, like outdoor shows, stuff like that. And the hub is their home between those events. So, it's kind of nice to have a library in the space too.
So there's my question. I noticed the books there, and that's part of the books that are on display are part of the Freedom Library?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so how does that work? Can you give us a bit more detail as to when they're out at community events, or for that matter, if I go into the Queen City Hub and see the books there, how do I access those?
Sure, yeah. It actually couldn't be easier. It's free to be a member.
Uh-huh.
And so you just sign up with your name and email and get a membership number, and you can take out just one book at a time, but it's totally free. And so you just come and sign up and take whatever book you want.
I was curious as well if that might be a future location for some books I, might have too many of. Is that something they're doing, or
For that library, it's kind of curated by their folks, so you'd have to get in touch with them. But the hub is also looking to start a resource library that just stays in the space. So depending on the type of books, we'll also be accepting those. But probably not a lot of fiction and stuff like that. Probably more nonfiction and useful stuff. So
good. I'm kind of curious when you. Just going back to the event you said you hosted with the other people in the community, the other organizations, what, you got out of it in terms of feedback, in terms of where the cultural community sees the needs are and stuff. I don't know if that's a longer discussion that we might have to come back to after the break, Jim, or how are we doing in terms of time here?
Oh, we're doing good. We've got about 3.5 minutes.
Okay, so... So what can you share a little bit about what was expressed by the other people who were part of that panel and where the arts community sees the opportunities for new development in the city?
Mm-hmm, sure. A couple of the sort of main themes that emerged were around like arts and culture groups kind of being siloed in whatever practice or area of expertise that they're in, and so that the hub could be a way to try to sort of break down some of those barriers so that people are no longer sort of just working from their home and don't have connections to other artists or relationships or even a place to, do the admin side of their work. Moving away from the sort of solo and siloed model, I think, was something that people were excited about. There was a lot of discussion about what Jaden Pfeiffer kind of coined building the Regina version of something. So Regina has a very specific kind of population and culture here. And so just building the hub to be responsive to our community here and what our community wants and needs. We had a lot of discussion about that and what that would look like. And so I think that people were encouraged to hear that there's organizations out there who are looking to facilitate connections between folks and to listen to what that community needs and try to respond to it. So,
great.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent, do you think the Queen City Hub might evolve sort of on a virtual basis as well that would extend its reach and things like skill sharing virtually and not just using the physical space?
Yeah, right now we're in the process of setting up kind of a back end for our members, and so it's called Basecamp. Probably lots of people have heard of it or used it. It's just a way to share documents, discussion forums, calendars, and just information sharing between people. And so if you become a member of the Hub, you'll have access to this sort of online community. And so that's sort of the first step we're taking in that way. But I mean, we'll expand however we can in the future, sure. Like with whatever avenues kind of come up. But that's the only thing we've done so far.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, we haven't talked about what it is involved in terms of becoming a member, either individually or all the rest of it. Maybe that's something we should come back to after the break. And Jim, you've got something lined up for a bit of music after our station break.
Yes, I do. We're going to hear some Bell playing after the break.
Cool.
So we'll be right back.
Friday's over easy. Long stretch of work days. Strain a smile for good measure. All coins cast aside. Well, I avoid working weekends. The cook's a wander in hands. But one of the others sneaks up on me. Gets me from behind. Scraped plates. Opens up. Dirty ashtrays, coffee cups. A bleached out apron and free grubs. And a side of plate for the bums. Well, there's no interest in detail about my day that I could reveal. I'm smarter than this jive's demands, and it's taken up all my time.
Performance at the Artesian, you might have guessed, and there was a good reason for us playing Belle Plain, and one of them is that she is a member, and she's also, doesn't she have an event coming up here shortly?
She does, yeah. So Melanie Hankowicz is a member of the Hub and does sort of the admin side of her music, sort of updating her blog, writing grant proposals, getting caught up on all that kind of stuff. She does From the Hump. And she's playing an event, actually, on Valentine's Day,
which is
kind of a shaking her fist at Valentine's Day kind of event, I think. And that's going to be at the Artesian, so next Friday.
Ah, okay. So people who want to shake their fist at Valentine's Day.
I think so, yeah.
This is your event.
You know, that's a really good example for me, because I was wondering, so what's an artist, musician, doing as a member of the Queen City Hub in terms of the connection and what sort of opportunities they might have to, use your space, but also the other facilities. So that's, Maynard, do you want to just share a little bit more about that? You've talked about she's updating her blog there and grant writing, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or, if you need to make calls with your agent or have conference calls with your band about booking tours or sort of any of the administrative back end there is to every art practice, people are doing that at the Hub now. So we have several really good examples, people who run their own theater companies that need a place with, printing and Wi-Fi and resources, or to meet with the other members of the company to make decisions and get stuff done. One of our members sort of works on her dance company stuff out of the Hub.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of all that back end stuff that happens. And in addition to artists, though, we do have a lot of people who work in, students who are working on their master's projects, or freelance writers and editors, someone who does green building consulting. Her consulting work is done out of the Hub. Graphic designers, web developers, all those folks work out of there. So it's a neat group of coworkers.
Really diverse in terms of the, you might say the occupational interests and and what people are doing in terms of using the space.
Yeah.
Is there some meeting space that's available? If somebody wanted in the community to book a meeting for, say, 10 people, and is that available there as well?
Yeah, for sure. So we have a small meeting room that you can book during the day or sort of after hours around the weekends in the Hub. And then the Hub space itself is only, it's sort of open 9 to 5 on weekdays. And so in the evenings or weekends, you can actually book the Hub space, which can seat any number of people from 10 to 50. So depending on the kind of meeting or workshop or event you want to do, we can book that in the space. And we have a neat arrangement with the Creative City Center. A lot of their programming in the venue space up there happens in the evenings. And so we're trying to look to get a bit more traffic through that space during the day. So if you want to book that space for, say, a workshop or a large meeting or an event during the day, you can also do that through us.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Just wondering what your funding model is. Like, where does the money come from? How do you make things happen?
Yeah, sure.
From that point of view.
Yeah, it's the money question. The Queen City Hub is a nonprofit, and we're a member-based organization, and our funding comes from the members. So there's a membership fee structure, everything from a $15 day pass up to a $200 24-hour access full membership. So there's a few levels in between that based on usage. So if you want to use the Hub, 5 days a month or 10 days a month or every day of the month, the fees are sort of based on that. And also what services you're using. If you or your business or organization want your mail sent to the Hub, we can do that. If you need a bit of storage for some files and stuff like that, that's available. Or printing or Wi-Fi, all that kind of stuff is included. So the membership fees go towards helping us, pay our rent, and eventually we'll go into programming and a staff person and all that kind of stuff once we get really up and running, and we'll sustain ourselves that way.
I was just thinking from the mail point of view, I know what it costs to have a mailbox from Canada Post. So,
yeah.
I'm sure yours is probably a little more reasonable than that.
Yeah, and we're actually working on sort of a la carte membership options. So if your organization just wants a place to have a board meeting once a month and maybe offer a workshop and get your mail sent there, we're sort of working on a fee structure so that you can just combine those three specific things and pay for that as your membership.
Mm-hmm.
In these first 3 months, January, February, March, we're kind of working out all those kinks and hope to have more formalized kind of process and systems and structure for April 1st. So watch for that.
Cool.
Right. That's part and parcel of getting the thing off the ground and, and rolling and sustaining itself and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jen, at the very beginning of the program, you were talking about there being hubs in other communities across Canada and even some in other countries, which I really wasn't aware of the extent of that whole picture of that. So can you share, I gather there's a hub not unlike this one, but maybe different in Saskatoon, for example, and another one in Toronto and somewhere else in Canada?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of different kinds of co-working spaces. Saskatoon has one called the 220 that has dedicated office space for people to rent in addition to what's called hot desk co-working space, which is that more open concept style that you come set up for the day and then take your stuff with you or store it for the night. And so the 220 in Saskatoon is a good example of a combo of both of those, and they also host events there as well. And some co-working spaces are just strictly about sort of low rent or subsidized office space. And some are about the programming that happens, for the membership in addition to that low rent, co-working space, which is what our model is based on. So, there's an international network of, hubs called Impact Hub, and their mandate is to provide that sort of, co-working space and networking and programming for members who are specifically interested in environmental and social justice projects. The Centers for Social Innovation in Toronto, which I mentioned earlier, are a really good example of that model, and Impact Hub has members all around the world. So Queen City Hub hopes to join that network of hubs, that specific kind of co-working hub, sometime down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, most other cities have one, like Ottawa, Saskatoon, Vancouver's got multiple co-working spaces.
Really?
Yeah, Halifax has a really neat hub that's very similar to ours in terms of space and membership. So
is that right? There's one in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
So where is the one in Saskatoon? Do you know?
20th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
so very central as well.
Yeah, it's pretty central there too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And the one in Toronto, I'm just curious, do you know where that is? Is it? I have a suspicion it might be close to the university or something like that, but I could be wrong.
There's actually, yeah, Toronto has a plethora of co-working spaces, and there's three centers for social innovation. The one that I was at a couple times is on Spadina, so it's the main one where, you know, Rabble.ca and CUSO and all those organizations have their offices.
Okay.
It's got a really neat coffee shop in the bottom.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not going to go into the coffee shop business then?
Well, with Green Spots and Atlantis and all of these amazing local shops so close, we wouldn't want to compete with that.
Yeah. But I imagine for some events you're hosting there or other organizations might use your space, there's at times a need for some food or refreshments. What do you do around that kind of issue? Or have you got a relationship with a particular, you know, food provider at this point? Or what?
No, we don't have anything so formal yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we need outside catering or like we have had bar service at a couple of our events so far, we've just organized that ourselves and are looking to develop those partnerships, but at this point are not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can think of some people in the community who are doing catering, for example, who, mm-hmm. you know, it might be an opportunity for them even to be able to get an increased awareness of the catering they do. And
Yeah, our open house that we had before Christmas, just to gauge sort of community interest for the hub idea. We had catered by Neil McDonald, who does a lot of kind of music events around town and does our activist camp in the summertime. So it was, yeah, we hope to give exposure to those folks as well.
So I didn't know Neil was doing catering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. That's great.
This whole thing, I was just going to say, it just seems to me that what we're hearing here is kind of a more positive model of activism, rather than, say, a group gets together because something's happening in the city that they don't agree with, and so you come together, and it's almost kind of a negative thing. And your organization kind of sounds more positive.
Yeah, well, we, like, right in our mission statement is kind of the idea that we want to be able to provide our members with the tools and resources that they need to be more successful with their mm-hmm. work. And so that's everything from just the ability to print or photocopy or mm-hmm. fax things from the hub, to having meetings kind of on a sliding scale. If folks, you know, based on an ability to pay, if a community group mm-hmm. Wants to have meetings at the hub, we'll kind of negotiate the price that way.
Mm-hmm.
To providing those, like the kind of human resources, like the networking connections and the sort of partnerships that need to happen between groups in order to be more successful.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is working on a campaign or an issue, they can come to us and say, you know, who of your members are working on water issues? Or mm-hmm. do you have someone who could edit this pamphlet? Or, you know, right. do you have someone who would be willing to do graphic design for our new, you know, committee that's formed?
Mm-hmm.
And so we hope that that kind of stuff becomes a bit kind of second nature and evolves organically.
Mm-hmm.
But it is going to be great to just have sort of a hub of activity where we're sort of known for the go-to place in Regina for some of those things. So,
right. So you don't have to sort of reinvent the wheel. Like, we have this issue that we want to tell people what our point of view is, or why this shouldn't happen, or this should happen, or whatever. How do we go about that? Well, we already have the organization in place.
Yeah, and I think opening up discussions with people outside of who you would normally organize or chat with is really important. And so having a diverse membership helps mm-hmm. us to make those intra-sector connections that might not necessarily happen if it's just a group that's sort of meeting in their home. Not that that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where it starts. But
right.
That's obviously where this idea started.
Right.
Being able to build connections with mm-hmm. People across a number of sectors, not just the art sector, but, you know, the tech people that I mentioned, and graphic designers, and
mm-hmm.
Folks who wouldn't consider themselves activists or organizers, but are there to support those who are, I think is really important.
Yeah, another sort of benefit, too, is you're sort of a built-in sounding board.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody could go to your organization and say, this is what we think about that, and what do you think? And you'd have people in your group, for example, Dave Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
who is sort of the activist, and he could give them some advice on whether he thinks they're on the right track or what the possibilities are,
yeah.
And that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah.
So you've said you're looking at a kind of April big launch, and more news on that at this point?
Yeah, it's the first Friday in April. I forget the date. I think it's the 4th. So that Friday evening, we're going to have a grand opening. So after this first kind of 3-month trial period of having our doors open and hearing what members are telling us about what they want to happen in the space and what the potential uses are, we're going to have kind of a big fundraiser and grand opening that evening. And the format is unclear, but we're hoping to get folks out who are interested in the hub and build our membership a bit more.
That's good. That's mm-hmm. that's a good date to mark down, the first Friday in April.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll stay tuned for more news on that. And it, for those people who might be listening to the program today, you're on Facebook as well?
Yeah, you can get us a number of ways. Our website is queencityhub.ca, and we actually will be posting the leader post sort of tour on there, And we also recently had a Google tour done in the space, which is just like Street View, but for the inside of spaces.
Very cool.
Yeah. And another one of our members, Michael Bell, who is a photographer, set this up and did it for us. And so that will also be on the website soon, queencityhub.ca, which is pretty exciting. In addition to that, you can get us on Twitter, just Queen City Hub, and Facebook as well. We have a Facebook page. Most importantly, you could stop by. Right. The second floor of 1843 Hamilton Street is where we're at.
Cool. It's been a really interesting discussion to have, and I know I've had a number of friends just over the last couple of days when I mentioned that we're going to have you as a guest on the program, Jen, that have really expressed quite a bit of interest in finding out more. I hope the program today has provided people an opportunity to hear some of your activities to date and your vision and what you're up to. And you can go from there in terms of checking out what the Queen City Hub is all about. So I hope this has been an interesting program for everybody to tune into. And I really appreciate your taking the time to spend an hour with us today, Jen. It's really been interesting.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it's been great chatting. And by all means, the Hub is a place where we hope to be responsive to what our community is telling us. So if you have an idea or are considering membership or just want to talk more about it, please stop by or give us a call or send us an email.
We've got a few minutes left over here, Gord.
That's all right.
you might have noticed. And yeah. Maybe we could talk about some of the stuff that's happening with Amnesty.
Yeah, Jen, if you don't mind, there is sort of a current campaign that Amnesty International is supporting that I'm sure you're well aware of, and I just wanted to put in a plug for it, and that is the annual effort. It's called the Have a Heart campaign. Mm-hmm. It goes until February 14th, till next Friday, and that's actually called Have a Heart Day. If you just Google the Have a Heart campaign, it's to support the call for justice and equality in terms of funding for First Nations students who are going to school on reserve. And there's an incredible leader who is advancing that cause, Cindy Blackstock, who many of us have had an opportunity here. She will actually be in Saskatoon in March and speaking at the university at an event there. And really what we're encouraging as many people to do over the next week is send a Valentine's to your member of parliament, mm-hmm. and to the prime minister and say, we hope you'll mark Valentine's Day by supporting equal justice and support for funding for students who are going to school on First Nations reserves. And it's a really important campaign. The inequity that exists across Canada right now in terms of funding is very, very significant, and it's not a very happy situation where you know, so many students are not getting, as part of the core curriculum, some key things. I know last year we had a guest on the program at this time who said, you know, one of the reasons they're not able to attract students, for example, into the nursing, this is just one little simple example, into the nursing program, in terms of students who have come from schools on reserve, is they don't have the ability to offer a key science class that you need to get into nursing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what a fundamental inequity that is that exists across Canada. And as I say, Amnesty and other people are really encouraging people to go online and find out more about it and support the Have a Heart campaign.
Yeah, I would have to add to that by saying that our government's reaction to this program has been absolutely disappointing. Mm-hmm. Cindy Blackstock has very skillfully documented the huge inequities that exist between First Nations and between regular children's education. And their response to that was to spend thousands of dollars to try to dig up some dirt on Cindy Blackstock.
Mm.
That's what their reaction was. So I find that shameful and disappointing, and I really call on our government to do better. I think that this is a huge necessity. It's not a need that's going to go away, and Gord was just pointing out a fundamental problem just in nursing, and the list goes on. You need those science classes for other pursuits as well.
Yeah,
and it's just this part of the inequity that exists in First Nations education.
And, you know, for those people who are here in Regina, I need to mention as well that the Aboriginal Student Centre at the University of Regina has been doing some great workshops, and we'll have some more next week just all around this entire theme. They're doing tabling on campus and providing information to students on campus and the faculty members. So a good opportunity to find out more information by also going to the Facebook page for the Aboriginal Student Centre and encourage people to do that. I know as well on the 14th, a week today, there will be a screening of a film, a documentary that the National Film Board has done. They're making it available for free on that particular day across Canada. And it is being done to promote awareness of this entire campaign. And I think people will find it very interesting to take a look at that as well. So thanks again, Jen, for being here on the program. And it's been a great opportunity to share information for our listeners about the activities to date with Queen City Hub. And we really want to wish you every success in terms of how you evolve.
Thank you again for having me.
As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, founder of Amnesty International, said, "Only when the last prisoner of conscience has been freed, the last torture chamber has been closed, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a reality for the world's people, will our work be done?"